Today on this Father's Day, we're so grateful for the fathers that you've put in our lives. But God, more than anything, we're grateful for you, our Heavenly Father. And Father, I pray that as we dive right here into the Sermon on the Mount, that we'll continue to be inspired by the words of Jesus and what it means to live in your kingdom. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, happy Father's Day, everybody. Just look at someone to your left or to your right. Say, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. It's great to be together today. We got some campus students saying it to each other. Hopefully that's not true, but you know, we just are encouraged by each other. We got a chance to honor, you know, the physical fathers in the room, but I wanted to start my lesson today by saying thank you to the spiritual fathers in the room. I have been so blessed to have many of you at this point play a role as a spiritual father in my life over time. And I want to say a special thank you to Tom Brown, who's been my spiritual father for like 10 years now. Thank you to all the elders that are like spiritual parents to all of us. Sherwin has been helping me, being a mentor and investing in me recently, and many other elders. Bob Keane has played that role in the past in my life. When I was a young Christian, there was men like Lamar Burnham, who invested in me and poured into me, and Chris Grubb or Steve Brand. And we're so grateful that we have men, older men investing in younger men. Amen, church. And if you're new to North River this morning, this is a great place to find an older man to invest in your life and a spiritual father to help you grow. And I'm so grateful for the previous generation that hasn't given up on us younger generation, but that continues to invest and love us. Amen, church. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7 today. We're continuing in the Sermon on the Mount. And we've had 5 incredible months so far diving through the Sermon on the Mount. Believe it or not, we only have like 3 more weeks in this series. We're coming to the close here in Matthew chapter 7. But it's been so rich and so meaningful. And we're going to dive right here into Matthew 7 in a second. But the title for today's message is Leaving a Religion for a Relationship. And before you feel this is edgy and okay, go find a dating girl, dating boy, and leave the no, that's not what we're talking about. We'll get to that in a second, but we'll come back to this. But today, we're leaving a religion for a relationship. And what we're going to do today is we're going to work through this run-on sentence, all right? If we keep on seeking, he will reveal himself as a loving father. And that's going to be our 3 points for this morning. Cool with you guys? Great. So we're going to start out, if we keep on seeking, right here in Matthew 7, starting in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So after all these teachings that Jesus has done, these last 2 chapters on what it means to live out this life in the kingdom of God, he's coming to his last part of teaching here, and he's focusing on prayer. And in our relationship to God, the way we pray in continual conversation with our Lord, he brings up 3 words here. It's ask, seek, and knock. And just in case it's been a while since grammar school, do y'all remember what types of words those are? Verbs, the English teachers in the room said. Yeah, ding, ding, ding. They're verbs, right? They're active verbs. In fact, the tense, though, we don't have a modern translation for. Ask, seek, and knock in the original Greek are in a verb tense that we don't have a grammatical equivalent for in the English. It implies not a single action, but an ongoing action, one that takes place in the present and in the future. That's why certain translations like the Holman Christian translate it like this. Keep on asking and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking and you will find. And keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. So right off the bat, what do we see is that Jesus is calling us to have an active relationship with the Father. If Christianity is anything, it is not passive. If Christianity is anything, it is nowhere close to passivity. but it is active and it is intentional. And I want to demonstrate this with an analogy. Tarion's going to help me out right here. Tarion's one of our amazing summer interns. Thanks, bro. And here we go, guys. So if, actually, it's going to be over here. What I want to say is that when we think that Christianity is passive, we make it a religion first. And when we do that, it becomes a box. And so in order to enter Christianity, this religion, then I need to intellectually agree with what's in there. And I need to decide that the worst moral things that go out there, I have to leave to go in here. And I have this process where I get converted into this religion. But if I view Christianity first and foremost as a religion, it becomes just a box. Now, when I get in the box, I don't really have to do much to stay in the box. I actually can start to be passive and zone out, sit down. Can I fit? I'm not going to try. And I can, you know, text. Like, I can just zone out and then slip into passivity. And what I want to call us this morning to, what Jesus is calling us, is to leave Christianity as a religion, to not treat it as a religion, as a box, but to treat it as a pathway. Now, a pathway verse. Oh, that was so close to being incredible. Oh, man. That looks so much better when we practiced. All right, so this is a pathway. Imagine that's a road. What you don't know is I did that on purpose so you would laugh. All right, and so I want to call all of us to leave Christianity first as a religion and step onto the pathway of relationship. And on a pathway, you keep walking in relationship with. So you keep on asking, you keep on seeking, you keep on knocking on this path, this relationship with the Father. Now, on that path, sometimes he might be pulling you, sometimes he might be pushing you, but most of the times he's just walking alongside you in relationship. And then when you go through a hard time, he stops and he goes through that with you. But this morning, what Jesus is calling us to is not to leave the passivity of the box of a religion, and then to walk with Jesus in relationship on a pathway. Amen, church? Amen. Thank you, Tarion. I put it like this. Jesus is not calling us to a passive religion to intellectually agree with. He is calling us to an active and intentional relationship with our Father, where we keep on going after him and keep on seeking him. Amen? Now, on Father's Day, is it okay if I address the men for a second? Because if you're anything like me, my like homeostasis, like the part that I feel most comfortable, if I'm honest, is sitting on the couch, game on, a Coke or a beer, and nachos. You know what I'm saying? Feet up, and I'm just, this is my happy place. I don't know why. And then if the remote's over there, I want my son Cam to go get it for me. You know what I'm saying? I've slipped into passivity. Are any guys with me on that? I don't know what, all the women said yes, the guys didn't say anything. I don't know why. But there's something about us where there can be so much that needs our attention in this world, from our wives, to our kids, to our communities, or most important, between us and God. But there's something in us that just loves being passive, that loves to shrug off the responsibilities and to zone out and to kind of dip into entertainment and selfish gratification. What do we learn from Jesus right here? What we learn is that persevering prayer prevents passive performance. Persevering prayer, where you keep on asking, you keep on seeking, you keep on persevering prayer. That is the secret to unlocking a life of intentionality. That is the secret to unlocking a life that leaves passivity behind. Men, this morning, I want to call you to be intentional fathers. Fathers, this morning, I want to call you to be intentional husbands. All men in here, I want to call you to not be passive in your relationship with God, but to be active and intentional in your walk with God. Amen, church? So we're talking about seeking here, but that's not where it stops. That's our part, is if we keep on seeking. Now we're going to go into God's part. So if we keep on seeking, what is he going to do? Well, he is going to reveal himself. So let's go back to this passage in Matthew chapter 7 and look at it again. So if we keep on asking, it will be given to you. And if we keep on seeking, you will find. And if we keep on knocking, the door will be open. Is that a perhaps or a promise? It's a promise. Jesus doesn't say it might be opened. Jesus doesn't say you'll sometimes receive. He doesn't say the door will every once in a while be opened. He says it will. That is a promise from Jesus. God wants to have a relationship with us so intensely that he promises that if all we do is seek him, he will show himself to us. Now, I want to take a step back for a second and ask you, does anybody here have a celebrity crush? Celebrity crush anybody? Like, or maybe not, it's not a crush. Maybe it's a, like, you just think that dude's the GOAT. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's in football, it's Tom Brady or Matt Ryan's kind of same. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's in basketball. Maybe it's a, like, an artist or a performer. Maybe for you, like, Taylor Swift was your jam. You went 3 times when she came into town a couple weeks ago. Like, maybe it's Justin Bieber. Maybe it's Usher, right? Maybe you like that R&B. Whatever. I don't know. Maybe it's a business person where you feel like that dude, if I could just be like him, I would be set. If I had his brain, if I had his smarts. I don't know who it is for you. For me, it's LeBron James, all right? Any LeBron fans here? Any LeBron fans? A couple? Okay, no, he's not the GOAT, but I still love him. And so, LeBron James. Now, imagine if I got a, imagine this for you, whoever that person is for you, imagine if you got a text from that person. And it said, yo, what's up, dude? Hey, it's Taylor Swift. I'd love to hang out. I'm in town next week. You want to get some time? Now, if that was me and LeBron texted me, I would say, Jonathan, stop. That's a funny prank, my brother. You know what I'm saying? And then, but if he went, no, check out my Instagram. And on his official Instagram page, it was like a screenshot and it was actually him. Dude, what's up, LeBron, right? And he's like, hey, I would love to hang out with you. I'm in town next week for a training camp. I would love to get time, love to chill, love to hear about your church, love to invest. I mean, I don't know, just I would love to hang out. And but dude, I'm only you want to hang? I would go, dude, no sweat, man. I guess I got time to hang out with you, right? And, but if he went, yo, I'm in town, I would love to hang out Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but the only time I could hang out is 4 a.m. at the State Farm Arena downtown because of the training stuff in the afternoon. I would show up at 3:30. Like, I would be there. Are you kidding me? If LeBron wanted to hang out with me, then I would bend over backwards to hang out. If all I had to do was show up and he would have a relationship with me, I'm there. Why? Because there's no reason why billionaire, most points scored ever in all time in the NBA, LeBron James, should want to hang out with me. I mean, he probably should want to, but he doesn't know that yet. But there's no reason why he should want to hang out with me. And if he reaches out to me and says that, man, I'm bending over backwards. You guys following me? Yes. Now, why is it that if a person that is great in society, we would bend over backwards if they just said, I'm there as long as you show up? Why is it when the God of the universe that created everything, he's the universe maker, he's the star breather. He knit you together in your mother's wombs. And yet, for some reason, when he says, man, all you got to do is seek me and I'll show up, I can go, yeah, but how about next week? And I can so easily just blow him off. You guys following? I think what this really gets at right here is something incredible. I love this quote. The Almighty God of the universe desiring to have a relationship with me is the single most unexplainable and mind-boggling truth in existence. It defies logic and common sense. Who is this God that cares about me so? I love that. It is so much puts it in perspective. And when I stop and I think about this, it makes me question my view of God. And if you find yourself today where maybe seeking God is a burden, or you feel like you got to be reminded to get into your word or reminded to go to prayer, or it's hard to continue to keep on asking, then I want to ask you, how do you view God? Do you view God the right way? Because if you have a clear view of LeBron and you had bent over backwards for him, maybe you wouldn't, I would, right? Bend over backwards for him. And we're not willing to bend over backwards for God, then I must have a weird perception of people and a lower perception of God. So how do you view God this morning? Because if we just saw how amazing he is, how incredible he is, how full of power and might and awe, but at the same time, intimately loving, intimately gracious, it wouldn't be a burden to seek him. We would seek him with joy. It would be the greatest part of our days just sitting before him, talking to him every day. And no one would have to remind you. You would be reminding others. And not because you wouldn't do it because you have to. You would do it because you get to spend time with him. You guys following me? We get to have a relationship with this amazing God. Let us not be the people that take that great King and Father for granted, but that we see him for he is, and we stand in awe that he would want to have a relationship with us. Now, I want to pivot here for a moment, because as we're talking about this promise that God will show up, we're talking about this promise that if you ask, you will receive, then many of us will go, but I've had moments where God didn't show up. And I've had moments where I asked, and not only did I didn't get a no, I just got silence. When I was praying for a healing of my family, and he didn't come through. Or I was praying for, I've been single for so long, and I've been praying for relationship time and time again, and yet I'm still single. Or I'm praying for that house, or something happened to my car, and he didn't come through. You guys know what I'm talking about. And while we love the stories of God's miraculous power, Brian Sires is here today. What an incredible miracle that was for God to heal Brian. We love that. He had his first DJing, time this week. Praise God. We love the miracle stories. And isn't it easy to praise God when we hear those stories? But for a moment, I want to talk about the dark night of the soul when I asked and I kept on asking and all I got was silence. You know, for me, the hardest time for me when I experienced that was with our miscarriage almost 5 years ago. And it was our first child, and we had prayed so much to get pregnant, and then we finally got pregnant. And then for those 10 weeks, I prayed about nothing more than that child. First, I was thanking God for blessing us and helping us get pregnant. Praise you, Father. And then I'm praying for his future or her future. And God, I pray for their future spouse. I pray for their success. I pray we're best friends. I pray they're loved. I pray they follow you. All these prayers. Never prayed for anything more in those 10 weeks. And then we lost a child. It was the worst day of our lives. We spent the entire day in our bed crying. And we, over time, we went through a mourning process, and we got back and all that kind of stuff, and we ended up getting pregnant with Cam a number of months later. However, over time, I started to realize that that had become a wedge between me and the Father, specifically in my prayer life. And while before that miscarriage, I would have said that my prayer life was one of my strengths, after that, it became one of my weaknesses. And I started wrestling with ideas like, does God really listen and hear me? Does he love us, but it's a distant love, and he wants to hear us, but he's not actually going to change or interact with us anymore. Is that what it's like? How can a good God let bad things happen to us? Have you wrestled with those questions? And I found myself wrestling there. And I went on a journey over the next 3 or 4 years, and there's a lot to that, but in short, at the end of it, we actually had another miscarriage. So we had Cam, then we had Caleb. We just had another miscarriage 3 months ago. And it was terrible. But this time, That miscarriage didn't, it was the same thing. It was 10 weeks. We saw the first sonogram. The next appointment we lost, it was the same thing. But this time, it didn't form a wedge between me and God. It was like a magnet between me and God. Let me tell you what changed. I started studying out my prayer life and started really, at first I was apathetic, if I'm honest. And I just went into rote prayers for a long time. I knew I should pray, so I did it, but my heart was kind of removed and it was hard for me to put my faith and trust into my prayers. But over time, I started really wrestling with it. And that came to fruition last fall. And last fall, I read this book called Praying Like Monks and Living Like Fools. And it's a great book. It went through the Lord's Prayer. It's a phenomenal book. But two things stuck out to me in that book that I really had to wrestle with. The first one was, do I want a relationship with God first because of what he gives me, his gifts? Or do I want a relationship with God first because of who he is, the fact that he is the giver? And I had to wrestle with that because for most of my life, I had received a lot of good stuff from the Father. A lot of miracles happen, a lot of answered prayers, and a lot of just incredible joys. But then when that gift didn't show up, and I was over here and all I had was the Father and no gifts from him, I started struggling with, is this enough? And I had to wrestle with that, to say, was I in this for the gifts or was I in this for the giver? And I had to wrestle with the main reason I trust God isn't because how he's given me things in the past. The main reason I trust God is because of his trustable character. Because of who he is, not because of what he gives me. And so even when I had the second miscarriage, and we were in the mourning process, please pray for us, I can still trust him because of his character, even if I didn't get his gift. Does that make sense? The second thing I realized that on this pathway of walking with God the Father, that when I got stuck and in the mire and in the mourning and I felt distant from him, he didn't keep walking. That's what I had thought. He just kept walking and he didn't care. But Jesus knows what it is to experience silence from God. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he literally prayed. He kept on praying for three prayers, and yet he received silence. And not that relatability solves everything, but it made him more trustworthy to me that he was willing to sit and feel around in the dark with me instead of walking past me and leaving me behind. And so in this dark place that we're in, that we've been in these last 3 months and starting to come out of, I trusted that he was there with me. In church, while that first miscarriage split me apart, this second one, my prayer life has been better than ever before. And it's not because of the gift. He's given me so many gifts, and I do see those more than ever. However, it's not because of the gifts. It's because of who he is. It's because he walks with me through the darkness, through the dark night of the soul with me. Amen, church? So that's what keeps me to keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. It's because I trust who he is. Amen? Amen. Okay, so the other big piece about us trusting him is that he is a loving father. That's why we can trust him, right? That's the last part of our lesson today. If we keep on seeking, he will reveal himself as a what? As a loving father. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7 and look at this. So right after that passage in Matthew 7, he leans in to this father concept. He says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. So I love this right here. He says, look at you as a father. Don't you try to do everything you can for your kids? Like, the reason us on Father's Day, we like being encouraged is because every other day, we're trying to encourage our kids, right? Like, man, when my son asks for a snack, I give him a snack. When he asks for ice cream, I give him ice cream. Even when I'm not supposed to, I'll give him ice cream, right? My son Cam, he loves wrestling. So he'll come up, Daddy, can we wrestle? And even when I'm in like full lounge passive mode, oh, I just can't help it. I want to wrestle with my boy, especially he knows the secret. If I kind of hesitate, he goes, but Daddy, it's my favorite thing to do, to wrestle with you. And then, let's do it. And then whenever we start wrestling, he has to stand up on top of the couch and go, are you ready to rumble? And then I have to get close enough for him to jump on me. It's incredible. But I do everything that I can for my boys. I love being a dad. I love giving them good gifts. What dad doesn't? And yet he's in it, but he says, if you then, though you are evil, well, wait a second, Jesus, evil? Now, he's not trying to make a morality statement here. He's trying to make a comparison. To say, in this broken world, even though you're a good father, gives good gifts, you're still evil compared to how great God is. You, how good you are as a father, that's nothing even close to how great of a father God is. So even though you are evil, how much more will the Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You know, these are my two sons right here, Camden and Caleb. They're loving their life on the beach. That's the king crab at the aquarium right there. They're loving it. Pray for Caleb's bladder control as he learns the potty train. You know, it's a big deal. You never know what you'll find on the kitchen floor in the morning. It's really exciting. But I just love this. But let's lean into this concept of God being our Father for a second. So if we rewind to the Old Testament, was God referenced as a father? Let's look. God the Father in the Old Testament. God is referenced as Father only 15 times in the whole 23,000 verses of the Old Testament. Now, you might go, well, I guess God didn't set himself up as a father, or he didn't want to be known as a father in the Old Testament. Well, hang on. In Jeremiah 3, when God is talking to the Israelites about where they've turned astray, he literally says, I wanted you to call me father and not turn from me. So for 1,500 years, 2,000 years of the Old Testament, God's wanting this father-child, father-son, father-daughter relationship, but the people just couldn't get it. Then fast forward to the New Testament. And Jesus is bringing in his new kingdom. What is the kingdom of God all about? In his first lesson, the Sermon on the Mount, he's unveiling this beautiful, this majestic, this perfect kingdom of God. And yet woven through all of it isn't just the life of the kingdom, but it's the relationship we can have with the King of the kingdom. So in the New Testament, what does Jesus do? He calls God Father 17 times in the 107 verses in the Sermon on the Mount alone. Do you see the difference? In 100 verses, Jesus references God as Father more than the 23,000 verses in the Old Testament. What is Jesus doing? He says, don't you get it? You missed it. My people missed it. In my first lesson, I'm reestablishing what this relationship was supposed to be the entire time. It was supposed to first be a relationship between son and father. So much so, this was so radical. This was so preposterous. This was so scandalous that Jesus even died for this. It's one of the reasons they killed him in John 5. I don't know why it says 18:18, but in John 5, it says, for this reason, they tried all the more to kill him, because he was even calling God his own father, making himself equal with God. Jesus didn't just die to save you from your sin. Jesus also died so that you could have a father in heaven. He literally came down and sacrificed his life to establish this relationship as father with God. Isn't it amazing that God is our Heavenly Father, guys? He's the greatest Father of all time. The good news of the kingdom of God isn't just how great God is and how powerful God is and that there's his kingdom. The good news of the kingdom of God is that great and powerful God is an intimate Father. That he doesn't set himself up in his kingdom as an overlord or as a dictator. He doesn't set you up as subjects that you have to obey or else. He doesn't set you up as being distant from him and he's removed from you. No, first and foremost, the king of this kingdom turns around and then loves us as a father. So I just want to encourage you, church, no matter where you're at this Father's Day, whether you've had the greatest dad of all time or whether you're mourning today over who the relationship you don't have with your dad, we all have the greatest father of all time. We all have God as our Heavenly Father. And that God, that Father, loves you so. And if we keep on asking and if we keep on knocking, he will show himself to be trustworthy. And he will show himself to you in a way that will blow your mind as a loving father. So today, we can say to God, Happy Father's Day. Amen, church? I'm going to say a prayer to close us out. Happy Father's Day, God. We celebrate you as Father every day, but today we're lifting you up as our Heavenly Father. God, thank you for stepping in into our brokenness. Thank you that even if we have rough relationships with our fathers, you step in and father us, God. I pray that you'll give us the perseverance, the persevering prayer that prevents a passive performance, that we will keep on asking and keep on seeking. And God, when we do that, show yourself to us like you promised, God. Show yourself to be good, to be trustworthy, to be our loving Father. And God, I pray that as we leave today, we're not passive in this relationship. That we don't treat Christianity as a box, as a religion, God, but that we can walk on this pathway in a relationship with you, an active, intentional relationship with the Almighty Father that loves us. We love you, God, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen.